Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that those who do even an atom of good deed, Allah sees it. And Allah says that when my servant asks of me, asks where am I, asks of Allah, asks where is my Lord, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tell them I am near, tell them I am near them, I am close to them. Another ayah says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to them than the jugular vein. Tell them I'm near, tell them call on me. He doesn't say, you call on me on their behalf. Call on me, tell them to call on me directly. I hear them, so let them answer my call for them to call on me. Let them call on me directly and let them believe in me. Belief meaning, let them believe that I can deliver. Let them believe that I can hear. Let them believe that I know what's going on. Let them believe that I have the power and I have the ability to resolve what is in their hearts, the crisis that is in their hearts. Let them know that they believe that I have the ability to do so. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Yarshudun comes from Rushd. Rushd is glory. When people talk about Harun al-Rashid, they talk about glory, golden age. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that if you call on him, it won't just be a private matter. Publicly, la'allahum yarshudun. Ibadallah. Many in the community, many Muslims, are suffering from fatigue, between quotation marks. Fatigue, tiredness. We've been calling out for justice, calling out for what's right, calling out against the genocide, calling out over what's happening in Gaza. We've been moving and mobilizing and raising our voices, but nothing seems to be happening. It all seems like our efforts are futile. It seems like all of the efforts that we are making with regards to Gaza are not working. It seems as if that it is a pointless venture. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Fasbir inna wa'ada Allahi haq." Be patient. The promise of Allah is true. And the patience in this ayah does not refer to patience in terms of sitting down and waiting for something to happen. It's patience in your movement, patience in your mobilization, patience in your perseverance to continue with something. Even if you feel it's not producing the outcome that you want, it will produce the outcome that Allah wants. For Allah said, فَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Those who do even an atom of good deed, Allah sees it. Allah sees your mobilization. He sees your movement. Allah sees what you are doing. And this is the whole point, ya ibadallah, that this fatigue that you are feeling comes from the sense that perhaps Allah is not seeing it, that perhaps Allah is not elevating it, that perhaps Allah is not amplifying it. And so Allah says that while you are moving and you are asking where is Allah, call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see the impact that he has. See the impact, how he amplified your voices. And American society is now seeing the truth of what's happening in Palestine. They're seeing the truth of what's happening in Gaza. Hearts that we thought could not be flipped are flipping. Hearts that were once so adamantly against Palestine are today the loudest voices for Palestine. And how can it be otherwise when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you what patience achieves? Allah said when it comes to da'wah, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Is there any better speech than one who calls to Allah, does good deeds and says, I am from the Muslimin? But Allah tells you what da'wah feels like, ya ibadallah. Allah tells you what da'wah feels like in the following ayah. When he says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. The good deed and the bad deed are not equal. When they respond with bad, we don't respond with bad. Allah says, persevere in the good that you do. Don't buckle and use their tactics because you think it's a shortcut to achieve something. Persevere with what is good. Persevere with the prophetic tactics. Persevere with raising your voice. Persevere with boycott. Persevere with the protest. Persevere with everything that you're doing. Keep going. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. The good deed and the bad deed are not equal, meaning Allah has elevated that good deed. But why does Allah tell you keep going? It's not just to make you feel good. Allah tells you keep going because it will produce something. He says, فَإِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Push back with that which is best. Why? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌ حَمِيمٌ. For the one between you and them is an enmity. They are your enemy. Allah says that enemy might become your warmest ally. Allah did not say it's the neutral. Allah did not say it's the apathetic. Allah did not say it's the one who makes you feel good that becomes your ally. He said the enemy, the one who stands against you. If you are patient in pushing back, if you are patient in continuing to raise your voice, if you are patient in continuing to move, ya ibadallah, if you are patient patient in moving even when it looks like it's not producing the outcome. If you keep moving, you will flip the heart, not from neutral to ally, from enemy to ally. Amr ibn al-As will become Muslim and take Islam to Egypt. Khalid ibn al-Walid will become Muslim and take Islam to Sham and Iraq. Umar ibn al-Khattab will become Muslim and become Al-Faruq, the second caliph. But what's the condition to achieve this? Allah, the ayah doesn't stop here. Allah says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا, none achieve it. None achieve the flip of the heart. None achieve the making the enemy into a friend. None achieve it except إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, except those who are patient. Do you see the meaning here, ya ibadallah? Patience is not waiting at home, waiting for something to happen. Patience is when the community tell you there's no point. When they tell you, what does your voice, what impact does it have? What do these protests have? What's the point in doing what you're doing? You've been doing it 11 months and there is no impact. What's the point, ya Rasulullah, 13 years in Mecca we're giving da'wah and we have to leave it for Medina? It's not for these people, ya ibadallah. It's those who are patient in the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were patient with him 13 years and they went with him 13 years. Not patient with him in that they didn't like his message. Patient in that they loved his message so much, they were patient in delivering it. Patient in tolerating what came as a result of the backlash. Patient in terms of persevering with him. Allah says, for those who are patient, for those who keep going, for those who move, for those who strive, they are the only ones. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا, none achieve it, except the ones who keep moving, who keep persevering. But some of you might say, ya ibadallah, that the reality is it still doesn't produce the outcomes we want, because we can't see how it will produce the outcomes. Allah doesn't end the ayah here. Allah says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. The ones who achieve it are the ones most fortunate in that Allah intervenes, meaning that even if it doesn't look realistic, persevere, Allah will intervene. Allah will flip the heart. Allah will intervene and reward the striving of your effort. Hud alayhi salam, when he told his people, believe in Allah and embark on his way, he said to them, Allah yazidkum quwwatan ila quwwatikum. Allah will add strength to your strength if you just move. Allah will add strength to your strength if you just move. Allah will send the angels to help you if you move. Allah will send the sama'a alaykum midrara if you move. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take walk towards him, he comes running. Take one step, he takes 10. Move and Allah will open it, ya ibadallah. And this is the essence when people talk about fatigue. Fatigue about what, ya ibadallah? Fatigue in the promise of Allah. Know that the promise of Allah is haqq. Know that it's coming. Know that it will be delivered. Fasbir inna wa'adallahi haqq. And ya ibadallah, let us be brutally honest. When we talk about fatigue in da'wah, and I don't mean just da'wah in terms of cupcakes. I mean da'wah in terms of flipping the enemy's heart to becoming an ally, where those who used to slander the Palestinians today are in every television station defending the Palestinians. Ibadallah, did you think da'wah would be easy? Have you not read that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Indeed, in this book, we tell you the best of stories, stories you were ignorant of before. Why does Allah tell you these stories? To show you, you're not the first person to embark on the path of justice. You're not the first person to feel despondent. You're not the first person to struggle. You're not the first people to embark on this path. People before embarked on this path. And Allah says, let me tell you how their journey was like. مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَالزُّلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ رَسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. They were shaken, they were tested with بَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. بَأْسَاءُ, they were talking, we're talking about harm, we're talking about repression, oppression, something none of us have experienced in comparison to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced. They were zulzilu, shaken, until the Prophet and his companion said, and notice the parallel with what you say today, until the Prophet and Sahaba say, when is the victory of Allah coming? We are moving, when is it coming? Defeat in Uhud, existential crisis in Khandaq. Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when is it coming? 20 years of da'wah, when is the victory coming? 20 years kicked out of Mecca, going to Medina, facing off against everybody. When is the victory coming? They felt that as well. Some of you might be feeling like Nuh alayhi salam, who said, Rabbi inni da'awtu qawmi laylan wa nahara, wa lam yazidhum du'ai illa firara, wa anni kullama da'awtuhum litaghfira lahum, ja'alu asabi'ahum fi adhanihim, wa astakhshaw thiyabahum, wa asarru, wa astakbaru istikbara. Nuh alayhi salam said, and notice the parallel with you today, for the Quran is for all of mankind to the end of time. Look what Nuh said. He said, Allahumma, I've called on my people day and night, and when I call on them, they run away from me. And when I call on them so you might forgive them, they put their fingers in their ears, they cover their faces, and they treat me with arrogance. Do you see the parallel, ya ibadallah? Have you read about Lut alayhi salam? And notice the parallel between what you say and what Lut said. Lut alayhi salam said, قَالَ لَوْ أَنِّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ أَوِي إِلَى رُكُنٍ شَدِيدٍ. If only I had power to resist you, or a powerful ally who might stop this genocide. If only I had the power to stop you. The reason Allah gives you these stories is to tell you there were people before you who said the same things you say. There were people before you who also struggled the same way that you are struggling. There were people before you who expressed the same sentiments that you expressed. But the reason Allah tells you these stories is to convince you to keep moving, because at the end of every story, what becomes manifest, ya ibadallah? The promise of Allah. At the end of every story, when it looks like all of the world has gathered to embark on injustice, Allah's promise is delivered. And that's why, ya ibadallah, when Allah says in the Quran, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Why is it when Allah talks about victory, when people are entering Islam in waves, why does Allah says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask for forgiveness? What are we asking for forgiveness for? Why is Allah not saying in this surah that He is an-Nasir, that He is the one who gives victory, but instead He says, I am Tawwab. Ibadallah, it's for the times you doubted, for the times that you doubted the victory would come, for the times when you said, when is it coming? For the times when you thought maybe there's no point, for the times when you thought it's not making an impact, for the times when you thought the effort is not worth it, even though Allah says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Those who do an atom of good deed, Allah sees it. For those of you who, when Allah said, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Those who strive for the sake of Allah and they believe in Allah, meaning they're striving not because what's in front of them encourages them to strive. They're striving because even when everything looks against them, they believe in the promise of Allah so wholeheartedly that even though everything is stacked against them, they move because they believe the promise of Allah is greater than the odds that are in front of them. Allah doesn't say their outcome is rewarded. Allah says their striving is rewarded. Their movement is rewarded. For every second you strive, Allah rewards you for it. Which is why He says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Ask Allah for forgiveness when victory comes, for the moments you doubted along the way. And praise be to Allah that He has the capacity to forgive us for those times when we doubt. For when you read the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the first 13 years of his life, he didn't have an army, he didn't have a billionaire backing him, he didn't have a nation state backing him. But ya ibadallah, did that stop him going to the tribal leaders and calling for what's right? Did that stop him moving? Did that stop him mobilizing? Did that make him sit at home and do nothing? No, ya ibadallah. He still moved based on the promise of Allah. And for 13 years, Allah kept him in Mecca, giving the da'wah against a superior force. But ask yourselves, why were Quraysh so terrified of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? It is because he was inspiring people to believe in the promise of Allah to such an extent that F-15 M15s would not scare them. The system would not scare them. Bilal ibn Rabah, when he was punished for defying the system, the promise of Allah was so great in his eyes that he refused to buckle and bow his head. When the Sahaba were beaten for invoking the rights of justice, they refused to bow their heads because they believed in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ya ibadallah, remember what your aim is to achieve in this life. When Aus and Khazraj went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said to him, ya Rasulullah, we are ready to give you a city. We will give you everything that you need to convey your message. We will give it to you. Abbas radiallahu anhu says to Aus and Khazraj, do not give bay'ah yet. For wallahi, if you were to raise your voice for justice, you will have a backlash from your community. You will have a backlash from society. They will resist you. They will fight you. Do not embark on this path if you are not ready for it. And they say to Abbas radiallahu anhu, we know what happens when we strive for justice. We know there's struggle involved. We know our hearts will feel like the world is against us. We know that we will be tested on this path of struggle, but we believe in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore it's worth it. But ya ibadallah, look at what they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said to him, ya Rasulullah, before we give this bay'ah, we want to ask you, what is our reward if we choose this path of struggle? What is our reward if we raise our voices even when society doesn't want to hear it? What's our reward if we go and protest? What's our reward if we put up with the struggle required to deliver the haq? What's our reward if we are patient and persevere, ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say to them, your reward is every Khalifa will only come from Ansar. He didn't say to them, your reward is every spoil of war, 50% will only go to Ansar. What he said to them was, your reward is Al-Jannah. And they said to him, that is sufficient for us. Is that sufficient for you? أقولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد عباد الله. When you read the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, know that if it does not terrify you, you are not reading it properly. Ibad Allah, in the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he goes to the people of Taif who stone him and kick him out of the city. When Jibreel alayhi salam says, let me destroy these people between two mountains, he said, no, la'allallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe Allah will enter Islam in their hearts and they will carry it. And sure enough, because of this, because they were spared, they became Muslim, and Taif today has never left Islam. Ibad Allah, when you read the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when you read the story of Khalid ibn Walid, the sword of Allah, how he becomes Muslim and becomes the invincible sword of Allah, you all celebrate and praise, but how many of you believe such miracles are capable today? Has the seerah become fairy tales in our heads that we can't envisage this flip from enemy to friend? Amr ibn al-As, who went to Najashi and said, bring me back these Muslims so I can persecute them. When he became Muslim, he carried Islam to Egypt. He's the one who led the armies, ya ibadallah. Is the seerah fairy tales that you cannot envisage similar miracles happening today where the enemy can become Muslim? Umar ibn al-Khattab, who everybody loves to quote his justice, ibadallah, did he not by his own admission beat up his sister because she read the Quran, and then when he heard the message he became Muslim? But look how Allah elevated him. He didn't become Muslim, enemy from Muslim on the back row. He became from an enemy to Muslim to Al-Faruq, the second caliph who led Islam and is listed as one of the most influential people in history. Do you not believe that Allah can elevate somebody who was once an enemy and turn them into a friend? Ya ibadallah, know that it is not Muslims that make Islam great. It is Islam that made the Muslims great. It's not Muslims who do favor for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Allah who bestows his favor. If you won't give the da'wah, know Allah will protect his da'wah. If you don't want to be the vehicle, know Allah will use another vehicle. And that's why we pray that Allah uses us as the vehicles. We pray he honors us as the vehicles. We pray that Allah uses us to deliver his promise. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses us to be those who are patient and steadfast on this path of struggle. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this struggle as the means through which we enter Jannah. Let Jannah drive you. Dream of Jannah. Think of Jannah. Think of this promise that was given to Ansar. And think what it was about Jannah that made them give everything for what is right and just. Does it do the same thing for you?